This morning, we had a good time in intercession, and so there's been a lot of thoughts rumbling around in my brain, and so today, I'm not going to so much teach you as just be like a family conversation. Is that all right? Of just what I think the Lord's doing and where the Lord's going. I do know this week on Tuesday, I heard just real clearly the Lord give me two words for what He's doing in people, in you, in us going forward. It's not just like a one-time event, but it is a one-time event of saying, yes, Lord. And that's what we want to do today. And the two words I heard, and I'm going to explain it because when He speaks to you, it's in language you know what it means. If he said that same thing to other people, go, what? But I heard two words and his things, and he always speaks to me with the same letters. Like, so the two words were remantle and river. You know, much of my teaching is the points always start with the same letter. He speaks to me the same way. I don't know why, that's just what he does. And he speaks to everybody different. But remantle and river. And this has been happening, but it's accelerating. And let me explain. We talked a lot about, last week we talked about the value of stillness. You can go out there on the YouTube. You can go out there on the podcast. You can go out there on the website and listen to it. I think that was an important teaching. If you didn't hear it, go and listen to it again or listen to it for the first time, the value of stillness. Out of this stillness, it's going to be a principle for the rest of your life. As things start speeding back up, some of you never stopped working. You just worked at home. But as things start speeding back up, The stillness is a principle or a foundational principle that He wants the rest of our life. Authority comes out of stillness. Direction comes out of stillness. We talked about this stuff last week. But it is a big deal to learn to be still. That doesn't mean you may be physically not moving, but it's also still while you are moving. We have got, and we're learning to do that, cut down the noises and the distractions. And as I said last week, it's just amazing. In the 25 years ago, Bob Jones, a prophet that was last 10 years of his life, was at Morningstar. He's been around the country. He prophesied in the 90s that the 20s, see, we're right at the beginning. We're not even a half a year through the 20s. So this is something for the next decade. Listen to me carefully. You know, the first three chapters of Revelation, John got a revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said, to him who is listening, this is what the Spirit is saying. See, the Spirit is talking all the time. You go, well, I can't hear Him. It's our responsibility to get in a place of stillness where we can hear Him. Sometimes He does give audible words, like the angel that just shows up, you know, announcing to Mary that there's a birth of a child. It's all through the Scriptures. But let me just, this is my opinion. If an angel shows up and tells you something, probably 98% of the time, it's because we hadn't been listening. And it's such a big deal, we've got to hear it. Because it says, how do we hear God? It's in our spirit. And He speaks like a soft whisper. And so we can learn to tune in, and that's a whole long talk. It's a common theme here, so we're not going to go into it today. But be at a place anytime during the day where you're working, driving, whatever, where you can hear the Holy Spirit says, pause. And you tune your spirit to His spirit. And in your mind or out loud, say, what are you saying, Lord? This is a time He wants us to live that way all of the time. But what He's speaking to us now, because I is during this stillness, is He is wanting to remantle us and teach us how to flow in the river. And I want to describe that. Remantle is an Old Testament word. We don't say this in America. The word mantle means a piece of clothing that you put on that is a sign of authority. You can go back and read one of the most prominent examples of this is in 2 Kings Chapter 2, there was a prophet named Elijah. He was the prophet that ended up destroying the cult of Ashtaroth where Baal was worshipped. Jezebel was the high priest. She was also the queen. You often heard the word queen, but she was also the queen. King Ahab was her husband. On Mount Carmel, it started the disintegration where she killed 450 assistant pastors. They didn't call them assistant pastors, but that's what they were. That was the wrong time to be an assistant pastor in Baal worship. He took them all out that day. And he did seven major miracles in his life. And towards the end of his life, an up-and-coming prophet came along. His name was Elisha. And let me just summarize. 2 Kings 2, chapter 6. Elijah asked Elisha, he said, "Tell me what can I do for you before I'm taken from you?" You know, you can live such a close life that you know when it's time for you to go. That's a whole other subject. I throw it out there. I don't apologize. You can wrestle between the Lord. Many times, there's more questions than answers as you walk around me. That's good because He wants us to be critical thinkers and He's the teacher. Well, Craig, how do we know? Do you realize time was created before man was created? You go back and look at the days. I think it was day four time was created. Don't hold me to that. It says in Genesis 1:26, your mandate is to subdue, rule all that was created. Well, there's another thought thrown out there. So we can have insight into time. Anyway, moving on. "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you?" Elijah said, "You've asked a difficult thing. Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." He replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and I live, I will not leave you." There's a principle there. We've been going, "Father, I want all that I can have for you." And I'm here to tell you that if you've been answering that, none of us live perfectly, but if you've been saying, "Father, I'm doing the best I know how. I want you, and I'm staying as close to you as I possibly can." He's heard your prayers. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. I've often wondered if he knew his time was short, if he knew he was going to exit in such a dramatic fashion. Now that's the way to go. Forget just laying in bed and passing on. I mean, that's all right. "Father, into my hands I commit my spirit," and go. But I'm ready for some... that'd be awesome. You're in the room, your loved one's around, and some chariots come and go, "It's time to board, baby." And I'm going first class today. I'm getting in the chariot. It happened to him. As this was happened, Elisha saw this. It's a little confusing right here, but somewhere the cloak or the robe or the mantle over him fell off. Elijah ran over, picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah, went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He was that close to him, he saw him go. Now this is a metaphor. Elijah did seven major miracles. Elisha did 14. He got his double anointing, even though it was a hard thing to do. And I'm here to tell you today, we are in a season for those that have just been following God, and I know you have, the best you know how, and hearing from the Lord. There is a time, right now, he's already started. It's not just going to be happening from today. I'm just telling you, it's already started. Where he has started remantling you, getting a new mantle, which symbolizes, "I'm giving you authority for a new assignment." Some of us, it will be a new assignment. Some of us, as we listen to the Spirit, will be an increase in effectiveness, productivity, and authority in the assignment we already have, and we're already repositioned. And I know that's for me. I know the assignment the Lord's told me told me what my assignment is. It's been re-emphasized. But I tell you, I can feel new authority and new clarity on it. Let's pray for 30 seconds, then we're going to talk about River. Father, I just pray over every person here, their heart is after You or they would not be here. I pray today and I thank You. And we right now, whether we're 10 or 80, we today, right now, we say, Father, our heart has been after You. And we've walked as close to You as we know how. And if You hadn't, just repent and say, we're doing it now. We do it as close as we know how. And Father, I thank You for new clarity. I thank You for just new clarity. You are remantling me. And if I know what I've been to do and my heart's pure, there's a new authority to do it. New productivity. Things will happen quicker. Things will happen easier. And I thank You today that You're remantling. You're mantling people here. Re means You've done it once and we're going to keep doing it. Because we're getting closer to a full-out Holy Spirit breakout in this region. And You're remantling us for that in Jesus' name. The second word that I've got, and I think the Lord will give us even more understanding as time goes along, is river. Okay, the verse I have is, did I even write down that river, that verse? Well, let's look at this one. Revelation 22, 1 through 2. Revelation 22, it's at the end of the book. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. River means generally Holy Spirit in the Bible. Oil does too. Water by itself means the Word, but river, water moving almost always means the Holy Spirit. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of food, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. John 7, verse 37, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. Whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, and we believe in Him, streams of living water will flow from within him. Okay, what's the point? In this remantling, we have to learn, and we're doing it, but it's going to grow. That's what I'm going to talk about the next few minutes. We have to learn to walk with the Holy Spirit in a flow that we've never seen before, or it's an increased flow. Let me give you a practical example. One of my basic gifts is teaching. It's been going on for a long time, but it's growing. You give me a subject, I can teach on it. Okay, and I do that a lot. More and more, I'll stand up. I don't usually tell you. I'll stand up and he goes, this is what I want to say. You got to learn to flow with what I'm... Much of what's happening today is that same thing. You've got to learn to flow with where I'm at now. I'll use your gift of teaching, but you can't fall back on teaching like a lesson plan like a teacher does in a public high school. See, a public high school knows generally what they're going to be teaching in 3 months. Or the homeschool curriculum. There are more and more times you're going to stand up, I know what to do, and I know where to go at my work, in my job, with my family, and all of a sudden you're going to get a pause in your spirit. And he's going to go, I appreciate that you have prepared, and I always use what you prepared, but I want you to flow in what's coming out of my throne room right now. And it's scary, especially if you're in front of people. That's what he means by a river. Is saying, I want you to flow with where I'm at right now, Say what I want you to say, how I want to say it. Well, I've never done that before. No, you haven't. You've been praying for a new wineskin. You've been praying for a new move of God. Sometimes I tell you ahead of time that you can write it down. Now, this doesn't just work. Just here. It can be at work or wherever or with your family. It's fun when you get it ahead of time. It's still flowing in the river. But there are many times He's going to give it to you then. I think of Dutch Sheets. How many of you have heard of Dutch Sheets? National pastor, speaker. I don't know what he is. Some people call him prophet. Some people call him apostle. Whatever he is. But he's a national speaker. Many years ago, him and Chuck Pierce did a 50-state tour where they went to that state, prophesied over what the Lord was saying to that state. We've got what He said to the state of Georgia. Did we put it back up when we remodeled? I don't know. Somewhere it's around here. What He said to the state of Georgia. It used to be in my office, which used to be the intercession room. We moved it around. This is the point. When He started the tour, the Lord said, "You're a teacher. When you go, do not look at your notes. I'm going to say something different to every place, and I'm not going to tell you till you walk up to the pulpit." Oh, goodness, that's right. 50 times. He starts to go. I love this story. He's with Chuck Pierce. He's getting nothing during worship. He's feeling panicked because this is stream. There's hundreds of people around. They're national people. And he turns to Chuck, and Chuck goes, "Chuck, you need to go first. I don't have anything." He goes, "No, you're supposed to go first. The Lord already told me. You're going first every time. I already told you. He's already told me about this." There, he's about ready to go. He goes, "Chuck, I'm really not getting anything." He goes, "Stop being a wuss and get up there." I think he said wuss. If it wasn't wuss, it's something like that. You know, weakling or something. Great man of God. Sometimes you just need these things. There are going to be times in your life where the Lord's called you and it's going to accelerate. I'm telling you, it's happening now. Expect it. If you're going to be close to the Holy Spirit, this is going to be your life. There's going to be times He's going to prepare you. There's times He's going to go over here and speak to this person. Do this with your kids. Do this at work. And awesome. Then when you start moving out and you go, "I don't have the slightest idea what to do." Yeah, that's going to be normal. He's causing us to push into Him so close. It's scary. Sometimes you may not know till you start to open your mouth. But you're doing it in faith because the river is always flowing. Now, this is a big deal. So listen to me what the Spirit is saying. Many Christians will not move into new wineskin and will not move into this next phase of the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you. This is history. The biggest hindrance to experiencing the future move of God is the present. See, our experiences slant us to say if something new is of God or not. Now, He always builds. He always uses what we've done. But you look through scriptures. Okay, let's just take this. This is the bad thing about a conversation, is it's not all outlined like a teacher. Acts 2, verse 1. We talked about this morning. It just came up to me this morning. The first move of the Holy Spirit in the new age, in the new church. Jesus died, rose again, walked around on earth for 40 days. He went to heaven. He says, "Don't do anything because you need the Holy Spirit to go where you're going. You can't do what's coming up based off the teachings of the rabbis and the Pharisees from the past. You can't do where you're going on the Old Testament alone. You need the Holy Spirit who's going to be a comforter and teacher." They ended up waiting 10 days in the upper room. Who would have ever thought what was going to happen in the upper room? We call it Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost, because Pena means five, it was 50 days after He went to heaven. After he rose again from the dead. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place in the upper room, Acts 2:1. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all of the house where they were sitting. I love one version. I just wrote this down during worship. I love one version. It said it came in with a loud physical sound. Do you think that had ever happened to them before? No. What if you're in here and a loud sound and a wind fills this place? Now, we've got precedence, Acts 2. We probably know what's going on because we're pretty trained here. But what if he comes in here and does something you have never seen before? Your history will tell you if this is God or not God based off your mind and experience alone, instead of going into the Holy Spirit and going, is this of you or not of you? This is a big deal. It could happen here and it could happen at your house. Well, I've never been used this way before. Well, you've been praying every Sunday, I want more of you. Is it more of the same? This is the challenge. Some of it will be more of the same. Some of it will be something you've never seen before. And this is why every revival that has happened in the earth never started with the people from the last revival. That's history. But I want to change that. There's no reason the people from the last revival can't move into the next revival if they do not let their mind be their God. There are many things God does that your mind just simply does not understand because you grew up in Dalton and it's never happened in Dalton before. Now, there's a fine line here. We don't want to be deceived. I was going to say we don't want to be weird. You will be weird. Listen to this in verse 3. And there appeared unto them tongues like as if... This was not just metaphorical. There was flames on their head. And it set upon each of them, if you look at the Greek, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. They had never seen tongues before. It had never happened. Okay, that's as weird as it gets. Now we celebrate it. That was awesome. I wish I was there. They were scared out of their minds, I bet you. Like you will be scared out of your minds when the Holy Spirit starts to... say, well, go and do this. Well, this will be weird. Yeah, it will be weird. Why? Because they have never seen that part of God before. It's only weird based off your mind, what I've seen before. 100 years ago. Well, no, not even 100 years ago. 40 years ago. If somebody had seen Teresa in her car, with a flat piece of metal up to her head, talking to the windshield, and there's nobody in the car, what do you think they would have done?
She's crazy.
That's exactly right. And if they had said that, seen that two or three times in a row, they probably would have called the psych ward. Why? Because that hadn't been, smartphones or cell phones hadn't been birthed yet. Do you realize there is more, like 2,000% more in heaven that hasn't been birthed on earth yet, that He's waiting to birth? Wow. But it comes from the river. I love and then verse 5. And they were dwelling, and in Jerusalem there was Jews, because it was Passover time, devout men, every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the noise went outside. The multitude came together. This is people that were not in the upper room, and they were confounded, confused, disoriented. The Holy Spirit moved in such a way they didn't know what was going on. Peter, I'm not going to take the time to do it, but Peter got up by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was preaching something he did not have in his notes. He tapped into the Holy Spirit, which is the river, and told them what was happening. This is what was described in Joel 2. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy and dream dreams. and have visions. And the Lord gave him that revelation right then. 5 minutes before, he was just like, what is going on? And there's this decision point where you have to go, what is my spirit saying? My mind has to shut up. That doesn't mean he doesn't use the mind, but you have to get this point. There is so many new things he wants to birth. He doesn't speak to the mind. He speaks to your spirit, and your mind has to speed up and catch on. This is a whole radical way of living. And it's very different. It's been this way all the time, but he is speeding it up. It has to go with your mantle. I want new authority. I want a new assignment. I want new insight. It's not going to happen without the river. Without listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the challenge. Every move of God and every new thing creates an opportunity for offense. Every single one of them. I love John 6 with Jesus Christ. He just did the five miracles of 5,000. And he left the meeting. It was an awesome meeting. Shouting, praising God. The band was rocking. They were on the internet. It's going global, worldwide. I'm exaggerating. But it's as good as a meeting could get. Broke bread. Had one little boy brought a lunch, multiplied it, fed 5,000. Baskets left over. It was good. And he left the meeting. Verse 43. He didn't move the way they wanted him to move. You can go back and read the chapter. And they started grumbling among themselves. Down in verse 60. It even affected the disciples. Many of therefore of his disciples, because when he left, he said something different. He said, I want you to follow me, not just for physical bread, but for spiritual bread. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. He turns to them and does not explain what he's talking about. And says, does this offend you? This is just the way God works. When something new comes in, there's always opportunities for offense, not in your spirit, but in your mind. Offense is this. There has been in us a misalignment of what we expected. And when we have an opportunity for offense, we have to realize I have to go back to the Father and get my expectations realigned. Because what happened evidently was not what he wanted to happen. Or even if somebody screwed up, he's big enough to override this thing. This is a big deal. There's going to be an increase. Listen to me by the Spirit. There's always been opportunities for offense. We saw that just now 2,000 years ago. It is going to grow. I'm telling you, it's going to grow. And it's going to grow in here. None of it's going to take the bait because we've been warned, right? But if things happen, some of it's going to be God. Some of it's going to be we didn't do it right and we just messed up and we're going to try to do it better because we don't always get it perfectly the right time. There have been opportunities and when I had a business, when I've done family stuff, people go, why are you doing that? That doesn't make any sense. And they've gotten offended. But I followed the Lord the best way I know how. Opportunities we're going to grow for offense because the river is moving and we have to realize our mind is not the first thing that's told. Now, most people experience Christianity like a lake, and you can. Where when you sit by the lake, it's a pretty scene, and that leaf floating in the lake in front of you, when you talk to a friend, you carry on, you come back, the leaf is still there. But if you're this move of God, if we want to join in, I know, how many of you want to join in? I'm joining. Let's pray. Father, we right now, we sign up to get in a whitewater kayak. We sign up to get on the river. No lakes for us. I know the river flows into a lake, but we want to be on the river. And so we say, yes, Lord. And so this is the thing. Amen. When you look at a river, the point, that leaf that you see in that river, 2 seconds later, it's not there anymore. It's then floated down. So your future is constantly coming towards you. And I want all of my future I can have. And there are going to be times, just like when we whitewater, we may go under and we think we're going to drown. But the Holy Spirit has a life preserver. You'll come back up and you go, wow, that was rough. But that's a whole lot better than sitting in a canoe in a river. I mean, in a lake. Amen? And so, let me just talk about history. This is how, because it's going to happen to us. 1500s. So here we go. Let me back up. I'm going to go a little bit longer. If you need to go, it's fine. But first century Christianity, that was chaos. Tongues, fires, confounding these winds. We know now it was God. Let me tell you how I've been praying lately, just so maybe it'll scare you like it scares me. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit for a long time. We've been planting seeds for a long time. We've been doing like what we're doing the whole time. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. Sowing seeds for when He comes. This is what I want to have happen here in my life in Relationship Church. I want Him to come in ways I never talked about it, and then we can explain what happened. I want the stuff to happen, and then people go, what just happened? And then we get insight like Peter did. This is Joel. Or whatever it is. I told the Holy Spirit this week, I said, Holy Spirit, I want you to do something that people go, they have opportunities for offense. That we're going to make it through it. But I want things to happen that when people go, what just happened? I don't know, but He's going to show us. I want to explain after the fact instead of just always planting seeds before the fact. This is the season we're in, but I'm ready. You see the difference there? And so, we know what happened. The early church was born. The previous move of God, which the Pharisees and Sadducees were, did not embrace the next move, and they missed it. They even killed the person that started the next move. And then they went out and persecuted all the people of the next move and killed 11 of the Judas killed himself. 10 of the 11 disciples. Let's jump forward. You can see this all the way through history. Because we're not going to do that here. We're going to learn. Because the next move that's coming is going to be as momentous as it was in the first century. He's going to finish this thing. Are you all still with me? All awake? I'm going long here. Revelation 22. Everybody talks about Revelation. I'm not an expert on Revelation. But I think most people are missing it. It says it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the bridegroom. And in Revelation 21, it talks about this big holy city coming down, Jerusalem, 1,500 miles cube on one side, top of the other. For years, they've been talking about an actual city, and He does come back, and He makes His headquarters, Jerusalem, on Mount Zion. He does all that. But let me just tell you, it is very clear. I don't see how people miss this. Revelation 21:9 says it is not a building. My gosh, we've got it so... go back and read Revelation 21. Let me show you the bride of Jesus and how glorious she is, and starts describing it. And this is the city. Because it says, even now you're a living stone. Do you realize that city is being put together right now? You're a living stone. He is making you full. It says in Revelation 22, verse 10, that city is bright with the glory of God. And it says in Habakkuk 2:4, the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the sea. The glory is coming before Revelation 22. He's building us into a city now. That is a metaphor. I mean, you can believe it's a regular building if you want to. I really don't care. But it is much bigger than that. There was no place except for the temple that was destroyed in A.D. 70 where he cared about a building. And that was even plan B because they did not walk with him closely. He said, if you won't walk with me closely, here's the Ten Commandments. And I'll put myself inside that building in a cube that's 15 by 15 by 15. And then you go all the way to the end and he says, I'm going to release my glory with something that's 1,000 times bigger. See, it makes sense. And it's going to be my presence, and it's doing it. He's doing it now. Because he says, we're going from glory to glory now. Is that good or what? I'm jumping in the river, man. Now, when it goes from glory to glory, once we finally, okay, God's good. I'm good with tongues, okay, if you're in the first century. So the glory's good. The two is what gets you. Glory to glory. We're in the two right now. We're not sure what the next glory is going to be, but that two's right there. And when it comes, you go, oh my gosh, what is this? The 1500s, the Dark Ages, was the first from roughly 400, 350, depends on when you want to count it, to the 1517 is what's called the Dark Ages. That means because God didn't move, that's because man didn't want him to move. La, la, la. There's a lot of weird stuff goes on. But in 1517, Martin Luther nails the 95 theses to the chapel in Wittenberg. And it set off, this is my point, it set off a revolution that eventually ended in kings and countries toppling in a 30-year war over a truth. You know what his truth was? It's so simple now. You can get saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. No more indulgences, no more confessional booths, and the Word of God you can read for yourself, and it's inerrant. We all take that, right? That's a glory we walk in that's normal in 1517. It caused the upturning of Europe. And the move before that, which was the Catholic Church, persecuted the next move. We humans just, okay, we got a glory in here, okay? There's a certain, I like this place. I like you. I like our worship. I like what we do. But I'm ready for more glory. And it may not look like the glory we're in now. Well, this is the way history is. Can we make that move? I hope so. Keep me accountable. Kick me in the butt and say, like Chuck Pierce said to Duck Sheets, get up there, wuss, and stop doing what you're doing. The 1600s started the next move. The 1500s, many denominations were started. The Anglican Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church were the major ones. 1600s, the Pilgrims had, man, we could go on. I'm trying to end this thing, but I think there's some good points here. The Pilgrims had to leave the land of the Reformation because they were being persecuted by the Reformation. They had to go to a new place because they didn't go to glory. It's a big deal. I don't want to be there. John Calvin, this is fact. I'm not being mean. I'm just trying to make a point. He was in Geneva, Switzerland, one of the masters of the Reformation. Do you realize at the end, he was killing Christians? He murdered them. God took him home early. Great man. Every move we can turn into deadness if we don't stay in the river. You know why he killed them? Because they believed there were other Christians that did not believe in infant baptism. And he murdered them using the Bible as his base. The previous move started persecuting the next move, which was freedom, that Anabaptists and different people that were taking the Reformation further. Infant baptism came from the Catholic Church, which was not the right doctrine. So they got two points right. When they started moving on to other points, those that birthed the two points persecuted those that came with the next points. Is this too harsh? John Calvin's in heaven. He's sorry for what he's done. We all move on. Does that make sense? The 1700s. So the pilgrims came. I mean, we could go on and on. The pilgrims came. La, la, la. Founded freedom. And many things were birthed in Christianity that could not be birthed in Europe because 100 years earlier, they didn't go from glory to glory. They didn't stay in the river. The river went into a lake. They got in the river for a little while, but then they settled by the lake. Y'all get the metaphor? This is so hard to do. It's so hard to stay on that blooming kayak and keep going. 1700s, there was many examples because of time. Let me give you this one. George Whitefield, which this canon was named after. He got kicked out of the Anglican Church. Even though he was saving thousands and the kingdom of God was growing. Why? Because he didn't preach from notes. That was the only reason. He preached extemporaneously, as they called it. Like what I'm sort of doing, although I got an iPad. They said, we don't do that. They couldn't go, even though they were birthed out of the pilgrims and different movements, they couldn't go forward to the next thing. Our minds love to stay by the lake. The lake is good. Stay by the lake, get a cabin, roast some marshmallows, but then eventually get back in the kayak and go again. You know, there's a little lake. I could go on and on. The 1900s, speaking in tongues, still so many people persecute a movement that's, my God, it's just ridiculous. The church started off with tongues. Give me a break. Will I look weird? Yes, you will look weird. Jesus Christ on the cross, when every devil in hell rushed it, and those Romans put a spear in his side, he looked worse than weird. God does not care if you look weird. He's trying to show you this is how it looks in heaven. And if you want glory, you have to embrace what's seen as weird. You've got to realize weird is different in every culture. 4 years ago when I was in Nepal, nobody ate with a fork and a spoon and a knife. They had big bowls of rice. They all reached their hands in there and got the rice out and put it on their plate and they ate with their hands. That is weird to me. But you realize one third of the world does not eat with silverware. Weirdness is defined by your context. And as it says, am I preaching too hard to you guys? It's not you personally, you know that. It's defined on the outside when you walk out. The Lord's Prayer that everybody prays, even those that persecute the next move. Pray, thy will be done on earth as I see it in my neighbor. He's calling people to have guts. To say, I have lived close enough to you, Lord. I've been in your presence close enough. That I want to see what you are doing. I want to do what I've seen you do. Which is, thy will be done in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. And I'm telling you, once you do it, you will never regret it. People go, you're weird, you speak in tongues. Or you're weird because you do praise and worship. I mean, this is a perfect example. 25 years ago, we did courses. They called them courses then. They call it modern worship now. Do you realize very few people in this church did it? I was made fun of because you do courses and do one-liners. You're weird. I mean, people tell me that all the time. First of all, I'd seen it all over the earth, and I'd seen it in big cities. We weren't inventing anything new. We just brought it here. Well, Craig, you're weird. You don't have Sunday night service. You do small groups. I'm telling you, this is the truth. Most people did it. Almost nobody did small groups 25 years ago. Almost nobody did modern worship. It's hymns or gospel singing. One of those two. About 75% hymns, 25% gospel singing. Do you realize in this city, everybody, almost 90%, does courses and they have small groups of some sort or another? It's no longer weird. Why was it weird then and not now? It's because you weren't used to it. Lord's going to bring stuff into our lives into our church, into your thing that you go, I've never seen before. And you say, Holy Spirit, I want to make sure this is you. I don't want to be deceived. I want to follow you. But you are led by, it says in Romans 8, it says, those who are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God, not what you see in the Dalton Citizen News. What am I doing? We're doing it here, okay? I'm not beating this up. It's going to increase. The river's going to grow. Oh, wow. I was going to talk about how we prepare. I think we've got this message across. Let me end with this. Now, this may make some people just tilt. Not here. 3.5 years ago, the flowing oil came in this city. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you how many churches, some churches split over the Boyman thing. Some people said it wasn't God. Some people said it was God. It did not end well. You know, when the oil stopped, one person went and bought oil. That was not right. But it was, they've shown there was a certain time period where it stopped and they were able to go back. They did forensic analysis on it. And so it did. But for a time, it was God. Do you realize every single revival we know of, as I said earlier, has not ended well? But that didn't mean it didn't start well. What's the lesson? We have to learn how to stay in our kayak. That when the Holy Spirit comes in our family, in our house, we stay close to Him. We don't make it about the move. We still make it about Him. And when it's time to shift kayaks, we shift kayaks. The reason revivals don't end well, the reason flowing oil didn't well, because I know the story of this thing, is they wanted that move to continue, so they faked it. That's when you get dead denominations and dead churches. Why is the Holy Spirit left? Because He moved on and you wouldn't.
Some of them faked it.
Some of them faked it, yeah. And then once the leaders found out, they ended it. They did well. And so, but let me tell you, the flowing oil, which was representative of the Holy Spirit, was a type and shadow, a metaphor of what's coming. Listen to me. He did that to start getting this community to pay attention to Holy Spirit. The Trinity in this region, as the Lord showed me decades ago when I came here, was God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Bible. The Bible is important, and it's an inerrant word of God. But we don't lift it up to the level of the Trinity. Y'all follow me? And so this Holy Spirit came, the oil in the Bible, listen to me about what that, you may think I'm weird, I don't really care. The Bible, He could have had the oil come out of anything. We hear stories all the time, not all the time, but we've heard stories come off the walls, out of people's hands, you know, all down through the centuries. It came out of a Bible. Why? He was speaking to this region. Make Holy Spirit Lord. Not the Bible. Although we live on the Bible. And they started chasing the Bible instead of the Holy Spirit. And that's why He stopped it. But He got His point across. Now listen to me. The Bible is important. The Holy Spirit is a whole lot more important. And He's coming soon. And He's increasing it. You can feel it. You can feel it in worship today. Where He's saying, those that want Me now, instead of a representation of Me, I'm here. And that's why we paused earlier in worship and said, come Lord, come Lord, come Lord. Because the job of the Holy Spirit is to get us dressed for the bride and to get us ready for the bride. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Back to the Holy Revelation 22:17. Jesus Christ, I heard this week, some other group, Jesus Christ is coming in a year. I don't know if He's coming or not. But that's foolish. Because it's very clear in Revelation 22, He's not coming back until the Spirit and the bride say come. That means the bride has dressed themselves. She's ready for the wedding. She's so in love with Him and has such a passion for Him. They're not doing little show up on Sunday and do these little songs. Their heart may be right, but they're missing the whole blooming point. It's a type and shadow. It's a form where there is, it can lead to life, but it's not life. You understand what I'm saying? We worship the Bible, the type and shadow, the whatever. And he is calling a people up passionately to say, are you in love with Jesus? And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. And it's happening. You can see people's sensitivity rising. You can see people's understanding rising and where this thing is ending. Listen, I'm not living for a place in heaven. Heaven was plan B. We were never supposed to die. There you go back to the time thing. I'll let you meditate on that one. We were never supposed to die. But we were created to walk with Him in like works in the Garden of Eden, which was a mirror image of His garden in heaven. And He's not forgotten about that. We got a long ways to go back. But it starts with a love for Him. Have I totally confused you guys? We went over, if there is an over. Questions or comments before we close? Because I don't want to leave us in confusion. I want to leave us with such a vision that is so big, you go, my God, in a good way. And you've got more questions than answers. But it causes you to rush into Him. Because I'm telling you, you cannot believe how valuable you are. He did not save you to show us. I'm talking to the choir. He did not save us to go through motions on Sundays or this or that. Or to apply the rules correctly. Okay? He saved us to restore intimacy at a bride and bridegroom level. I say it, but I don't even really fathom it. I'm speaking it, but if you think I understand it, it's wrong. But the offense for glory to glory is going to come up like every one of these offenses. The Pharisees with the first century church, with the Catholics, with the Reformation, with the next move of the Anabaptists and the Pilgrims. With the Pilgrims, with people like John Wesley and George Whitefield that started an entirely new denomination. That's where the Baptists were birthed out of. That's where the Methodists primarily were birthed out of. And then they turned around and persecuted the Pentecost because they spoke in tongues as if they had never even heard of this before. You can tell I'm sarcastic, but it's when our mind rules, we live silly lives. Our mind was created to be the brain is the greatest organism ever created, but it's still to be a servant of the spirit. But when a mind becomes in and of itself, this is where we get Romans 1, where we call the things, good things, evil, and evil things good. And many things in our world, we're doing that. In Christianity too. Because the mind left to itself without the guidance of the Spirit gets really silly. Comes up with really irrational stuff. I've known the preaching today, man. But that's good. I'm not apologizing. Any questions or comments? Yeah. Here, let me give you the microphone. So.
I'm going to give the church a prophetic vision that testifies what Craig talked about today. Okay? I want you to listen very, very closely. In the spirit of intercession amongst the leadership of the church, I closed my eyes today, this morning, in that room, in the East Room, and saw a shower spigot. And it was just spitting water. It was clogged. It wasn't anything coming through. All of a sudden, it came through violently. Like all at once. And the spigot couldn't hold the pressure anymore. And it exploded. And it exploded with the wall behind it. And all this water came gushing through. Shelley, in the spirit of intercession, check me on this, said that she saw a large water pipe in the intersection over here, next to the church, gushing with water. Now we can pray all we want about the next move of God. But if the next move of God comes like a violent river, are you ready? Now, how I know this to be, because after intercession, I come into the sanctuary and Chad goes, when are you going to go water rafting with me?
Sometimes we're more prophetic than we think we are.
Yeah. I said, when I get over my fear of drowning. He goes, well, silly, you don't go in without a life jacket. I said, you're right. Would you like to train for the coming move of God? Would you like to be prepared in some way? Everybody talk to Chad.
Have we ever church rafting trip?
Would you like to know what it's like to ride the river wild that is the Holy Spirit? You think I'm kidding? I went whitewater rafting one time. I hated it. I'm going whitewater rafting. Chad, I am not going to be the disoriented, offended church.
And if you scream like a little baby, it's
all right. If I get weird, so be it. So be it. Josh is like, yeah, I've got the video camera ready when that happens.
Now, we don't want to be weird, just be weird.
No, not to be weird.
You do judge it by the spirit,
what Jan said this morning, there is a big difference between being disoriented and confused.
I mean, you think about it, you go all the way back to 1517 when the Lutheran Church started by Martin Luther. I mean, it was over a period of time. If he walked into any modern Baptist church, he would scream heresy. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. I don't have time to go into it, but just the way it went, the way it was ordered. He came here, he would be like John Calvin and try to kill us all.
He did the same thing in modern Lutheran church.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
My name's on it? So,
anybody else, comments or questions? Julie, come on up. Come on up and get the microphone so we can get it on the tape. For those who aren't here, if they want to come back and listen.
I have something to piggyback.
Yeah, you need to place put your
okay.
Notes.
I have something to piggyback off of what Sean just said and Craig.
Man, are people actually write now?
Yes.
Can we do it in different colors?
Of course.
I don't even think I could write anymore.
The first song, What Does It Sound Like? I think that was the first one we started out with. Well, I was in worship and just had my eyes closed, and I could see like rain starting to fall. And I thought, okay. And I thought it was just around me, but it was bigger than me, because then I could see it raining where Miss Darlene was worshiping and where the girls were sitting over here. And I got to looking around, and it was just raining everywhere, and it just got to rain harder and harder. And the rain had like bright white streaks in it. That's what the rain was coming down as.
Wow.
But I knew it was rain. Anyway, as it rained, it just kept getting harder and harder. And then I heard the Lord say, as in the days of Noah. And
wow. She wasn't even in intercession this morning. Somebody ought to feel that. If y'all need to go, go on. But we're just going to keep talking. I'm enjoying this. It's fun.
He said, as in the days of Noah. And that's all I heard. And then the ground started to swell up with water. And
wow.
So not only was it coming down, it was coming up. And then I thought maybe this was just the quirky part of me, but shortly thereafter, you're going to think this is weird, but...
I'm sure I will, but
okay,
I'll probably
all
be
right.
Doing it in 2 weeks, but go ahead.
But I saw Noah coming by, because the rain had fallen and it was coming up from the ground so much. He was
you saw
coming,
Noah coming by?
I saw Noah coming by in a... He was just doing that, and it was like a canoe or a kayak.
Wow.
And I asked the Lord, I said, what does the rain mean? And he said, my presence and my glory.
Wow.
So you had talked about the glory, and you had talked about the kayak, you know, but it was like in a rapid type river that he was in.
Wow, what a confirmation.
I know.
Who was it that had the thing about the ark this morning? Let them come and share. Was that you, Shelley? At the ark or Jan?
Mike.
That was Mike. Oh, Mike had to leave early. What did he say? Can somebody summarize?
In intercession?
Yeah. Mike had this. He had to leave early for some reason.
After the deluge of water through the wall, the vision changed, and I saw an ark during prayer. And there was thousands of people in an ocean around the ark. And they were all just kind of bobbing on top of the water with this faraway look in their eyes like, what just happened? Okay, they're just kind of being tossed back and forth. Many of the people in the water saw the ark and began swimming toward it. It's like, I need orientation. I need to understand what just happened. Many just start swimming away into oblivion. Because maybe they were offended. Maybe they're just like, no, that's not it. The ark gave orientation. You get your legs underneath you. You can get some perspective on what's happening. You can see over the water and what God has just done. But that's what killed me is this. If there was anything, this is some of the deepest teaching I've ever heard Craig give out. And this is a testimony to you guys, is your ability and capacity to understand that it's glory to glory. And let's make up our mind right now that we're not going to be offended when God does something completely different than what we had expected Him to do. Right? But the ark, to me, represented the church. The RC was what resonated with my spirit. This is what God is doing now. And yes, I'm with you. I don't understand all of it, but we were told by the Lord that this was going to happen. And those people climbing in the boat are going to be like, oh, okay. And we're going to be honest with those folks and say, now I don't have all of it. God just gave me this piece. And we can turn around and look back and see, okay, this is what He did here, and we're waiting for the next. And they're going to be glad that we're like, okay, at least I'm in a place where they recognize what's happening. How are you going to respond to those offended believers? Good answer. I wouldn't have said it.
What did he say?
Compassion.
That's a good answer.
For those who are offended. Because my instinct.
We can't do judgment.
No. Because I just want to slap them.
Because I miss it a lot of times.
Yeah.
I want somebody to come along after.
It's persecution. I just want to grab them by the ankles and turn them upside down, shake the stupid out of them, and see if what falls out. I can't explain all of it. You know.
The ark is the presence of God. Man, I could keep going on. I'll just try to find. Yeah, you can bring. Let Deborah, poor Deborah back there. I forgot about you. We were released. The ark. Where was the Ark of the Covenant? In the presence of God. It was called an ark. I don't have time to go into this. This is the teaching. He did an ark for Noah. He could have called it a boat, a ship, or whatever. He is building many places for His presence now on earth. We'll just leave it at that. Anybody else before we close up? Yeah. And if y'all need to go, I understand. Be free. We won't talk about you. We'll just have compassion on you.
I grew up in this area and in a typical Baptist church and stuff. So I've been learning a lot lately that I never learned my whole life about our authority and about dominion and about how we are supposed to reign on this earth. And a couple weeks ago, I'm sorry, I'm a super emotional person. This is just me. So.
And you told me before you were scared to death to speak. So
I am.
That doesn't help.
But a couple weeks ago, I sent Sean a song. I don't know if it's a song, a poem, or what, but he's been working on it for me. But I just feel like it's fitting. Do you feel the wind, the shifting wind, blowing across your skin like the breath of Holy Spirit? Do you see the change blowing in on the wind? Do you see it coming? Can you hear it? His kingdom come, His will be done. As kings and priests on earth, we reign. to usher in change once again, as in heaven, on earth the same. We reign in Jesus Christ. We reign. We reign through Jesus' holy name. Do you hear the sound of the trumpet's blast, the breath of God awakening the dry bones, a glorious shaking, a great awakening? All God's army, arise and sing a new song.
Wow.
I just feel like that's really where God is taking us into understanding who we are through Jesus and in Holy Spirit, that we aren't these beat down sinners. We have a place of authority on this earth, and I think that He's calling us to step into that.
That's a good place to end. Let's pray. We don't need two microphones on. Father, we just love you and we run hard after you. In Jesus' name.